Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I listen to the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, I wonder whether Paul would have made a good recruiter for our seminary. Would Paul have been good at motivating students to enter the ministry of the Word? He does not sound like a Tim Robbins who promises health and wealth to all those who pursue their goals and their dreams. Instead, Paul wants to bring us back to the basics, reminding Timothy here that he is in for the long haul. Listen to how he encourages Timothy to pursue the ministry. "This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point chained like a criminal." In other words, if you become a minister, you should expect to suffer to the point of being treated like a criminal. A few sentences earlier, Paul admonishes Timothy, "Be strong," verse 1. "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier," verse 3. "If anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops," verses 5 and 6. The words here, to be strong, to endure hardships, compete and work hard, indicate that Paul is entrusting Timothy here with a very difficult task. Timothy must be prepared to fight a battle like a soldier, be hard-working like a farmer, persevere in it like an athlete, and expect to be imprisoned. Well, that sounds encouraging, doesn't it? Is there any one of us here who would like to take on the task after hearing these words? But the Apostle Paul here is a realist. He does not mince his words. He tells us like it is, and he talks from personal experience. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you can read a whole lot of things he endured. If anybody can boast for having endured something for what he did, then it's me, says the Apostle Paul. But now, is it really worth it? Is there any reason why somebody should follow Paul in what he did? It depends a lot from whose perspective we are looking at this. From Paul's perspective, and from all those who stand in the ministry of preaching the gospel, the gratification and benefit are not always apparent. It brings little that would make us successful in the worldly terms. But as ministers of the word, we are not to ask the question of reward, because through Jesus Christ, the reward has already been given to us, forgiveness and eternal life. And so Paul is not after personal gain, and Timothy should not be so also. So for whose benefit then is this ministry? Paul says these words, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering." It has a lot to do with the gospel. It must be preached even after Paul's imprisonment and death. Somebody like Timothy must continue that ministry, and after him, somebody else as well, until Christ's return. Individuals must serve this gospel, and the church needs preachers who will bring the gospel to the world. And as they do so, they should not ask, "How does it help me?" but rather, "How will it benefit others besides me?" And that answer is given by Paul himself. "Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain salvation." The gospel must be preached for the salvation of others. Timothy must fight this unselfish battle to win over others for the gospel. And that makes it all worth it. I've heard pastors often tell me, and perhaps you as well, that when they see one member or one newcomer come to them after the service and thank them for the good sermon, that every setback that they have gone through is immediately forgotten. Just seeing the joy in the eyes of this one sheep who heard the gospel makes it worth the ministry to the 99 other sheep. And on such occasions, they realize that the gospel that they preach is not just any arbitrary and meaningless message, irrelevant and unimportant. The gospel is, as Paul tells us here, about Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead, and it means salvation to everyone who hears it. Remember this Jesus Christ, Paul tells us, raised from the dead. The gospel is the message of Easter, the news of Christ's resurrection from the dead. And so obviously, we do not only commemorate Easter once in the church year calendar. We do not call out only then, the Lord has risen, he has risen indeed. The gospel of the risen Lord accompanies the church for all times, and it fills it with hope and with confidence. The Lord has truly risen. He has conquered sin, death, and the devil. For Paul, therefore, the gospel brings the truth of the actual resurrection of Jesus Christ. It took place at a certain time and in space, and the risen Lord was seen by many witnesses, including the Apostle Paul. Paul brings Timothy, therefore, back to the foundation of our Christian faith that would keep us alive and that of the church. It is this gospel of the resurrected Christ who once died. If it is not preached, then people will not obtain salvation and the church eventually will die. But with the gospel, death does not have the last. Victory, resurrection, and eternal life has. What then, we may ask in closing, is the best motivation for individuals to seek the ministry of the gospel? While it has a lot to do about fighting like a soldier, competing like an athlete, and toiling like a farmer, we do it for the sake of others. We do it so that people may be brought to Christ. Will we get tired in the process? Perhaps we will. But Paul was strong, not because of his own strength, but because of the grace of God being mightily active in him. And so whatever dangers Timothy faces, he may continue in it undeterred and confident that the grace of God will also be mightily active in him. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.